Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 23. We're moving from authentication into authorization. RBAC, role-based access control. Alice, we've spent the last few episodes on proving who someone is. Now we need to figure out what they're allowed to do.
Right. And this is where legal SaaS gets genuinely hard. Think about the access hierarchy at a typical law firm. You've got firm administrators who manage the platform, partners who oversee practice groups and billing, associates who work on specific matters, paralegals supporting those matters, and sometimes external clients who need read-only access to certain documents. Every one of those people needs different permissions. And if you get it wrong, if a junior associate can see a partner's billing rates, or a client viewer can access a matter they're not party to, you've got a serious problem.
And this isn't a niche concern, right? OWASP has something to say about it.
Broken access control is literally the number one vulnerability in the OWASP POP 10. We introduced OWASP back in episode 1. They found some form of broken access control in 94% of applications they tested. It's not exotic. It's the most common security failure in web applications.
Right. So RBAC is the solution.
RBAC is the foundation. The idea is simple. Instead of assigning individual permissions to each user, which gets completely unmanageable once you have hundreds of users, you create roles. A role is just a named collection of permissions. Associate might include permissions to read and edit documents on their assigned matters, log time entries, and view deadlines. Firm administrator includes everything, plus user management and system configuration. You assign users to roles, and they inherit the permissions that role carries.
Yeah, that's cleaner than managing permissions per person. But how many roles do you actually need?
For most legal SaaS platforms, 5 or 6 covers 80% of the need. Firm admin, partner, senior associate, associate, paralegal, client viewer. The NIST standard for RBAC, and yes, there is a formal U.S. national standard for this, adds the concept of role hierarchies, where senior roles automatically inherit the permissions of junior roles. A partner gets everything an associate can do, plus billing access and matter management.
What's the trap? Where does this go wrong?
The biggest one is role explosion. You start with 3 roles: admin, editor, viewer. Then someone says, we need a billing viewer who can see invoices but not edit them. Then, we need a senior editor who can approve document changes. Then, we need a matter-specific admin for just the litigation department. Before you know it, you've got 47 roles and nobody can tell you which permissions each one actually grants. The rule of thumb is, roles should map to job functions, not individual people. If you're creating a role for one specific user's needs, you've left RBAC territory.
What about when someone's permission should change over time? Like, someone gets promoted?
That's the second big trap. Permission creep. An associate gets temporarily promoted to handle a sensitive matter. They get elevated permissions. The matter closes 6 months later, but nobody removes the extra access. Over time, users accumulate permissions far beyond what they currently need. The fix is regular access reviews, quarterly audits where you compare actual role assignments against current org charts. When we talked about skim provisioning in episode 22, that's the automation side. When someone's role changes in the firm's directory, skim can update their role in your application automatically.
Right. Let me ask about something I see developers get wrong. If you hide a button in the interface, like removing the delete button for paralegals, is that access control?
No. And this is so common it has a name, the hidden button fallacy. Hiding a button in the user interface is a user experience decision. It is not security. If the API endpoint behind that button still accepts requests from anyone with a valid session, any user can call it directly. Open the browser developer tools, find the API URL, and send a delete request. If the server processes it, you have broken access control.
Ugh. So where should the check actually happen?
At the API layer. Every single request. The OWASP authorization cheat sheet is very explicit about this. Authorization policies must be enforced at the back end to guarantee security and consistency. The pattern is middleware, a layer of code that runs before every API request. It extracts the user's roles from their session or their JWT token, which we covered in episode 18. It resolves those roles to a set of permissions, and it checks whether the user has the specific permission required by that endpoint. If not, the request gets a 403 forbidden response before any business logic executes.
Yeah, and the UI can still read those same permissions to decide what to show.
Absolutely. The UI reads the user's permissions to show or hide interface elements. That's good UX. But it's cosmetic. The API is the actual gate. Think of it this way. The UI is the velvet rope at a nightclub. The API is the locked door behind it. If someone steps over the rope, they still need to get through the door.
What about scoping? You mentioned that an associate should only access documents on their assigned matters. How does that work with roles?
This is where legal SaaS goes beyond generic RBAC. A role might say, associates can read and edit documents. But that can't mean all documents in the entire system. It means documents on matters they're assigned to. So you need a second layer of scoping. The role gives you the action permission. Can read documents. The matter assignment gives you the resource scope. On these specific matters, every database query needs to include both checks. We'll go much deeper on this in episode 25 when we cover ethical walls and matter-scoped access.
Right. One more question. API scopes. How do those tie into roles?
API scopes are the technical encoding of permissions. When a user logs in and gets a session or a JW token, that token contains a list of scopes, like documents, read, documents, write, billing.view, users, manage. Those scopes are derived from the user's role. The API middleware checks the token scopes against what the endpoint requires. It creates a clean, consistent enforcement chain. User gets assigned a role, role maps to scopes, scopes travel in the token, API checks scopes on every request.
And for anyone building this right now, the key takeaway?
Three things. First, keep your role model simple. Five or six roles map to job functions, not individual people. Second, enforce permissions at the API, never just the UI. Third, build access review reporting into your platform from the start, because enterprise law firm clients will ask for it during every security audit. Show me every user with admin access. And when it was granted, should be a one-click report, not a database spelunking exercise.
Next episode, ABAC and policy engines. When roles aren't enough, and you need to make access decisions based on attributes like department, matter type, or time of day.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistants. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.